Well, Sabbath blessings, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this 20th day of June 2020. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those that are listening to the recording, and what a joy and a privilege it is to gather together once again with others of like faith and with visitors to worship our God in spirit and in truth. We have a very important sermon, and so let us get right into our service today. Our opening song is titled, God, How Can We Forgive? God, how can we forgive? When bonds of love are torn, how can we rise and start anew, our trust reborn? When human loving fails and every hope is gone, your love gives strength beyond our own to face the dawn. When we have missed the mark and tears of anguish flow, how can you still release our guilt, the debt we owe? The ocean depth of grace surpasses all our needs. A priest who shares our human pain, Christ intercedes. Who dares to throw the stone to damn another sin? When you, while knowing all our past, forgive again. No more we play the judge, for by your grace we live. As you, O God, forgive our sin, may we forgive. Shall we pray? Precious Father in heaven, thank you for being long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. I pray that we may spend more time beholding your character and thus be transformed into your image day by day, moment by moment. We desire to be like you in character, that we may truly be your sons and daughters and taken to heaven as such. Help us no longer to follow the characteristics of the devil, your enemy, but instead your glorious characteristics. So help us to understand, pour your spirit upon us in rich abundance, and please, Spirit, reveal ourselves to us, that we may see us as we are, that we may loathe what we see, pleading for forgiveness and a change in heart, life, and character. Thank you, Savior, for forgiving our sins. Thank you, Spirit, for giving us the grace and working within us to transform us from death to life, from hard-heartedness to a pliable, softened heart. And please continue to sprout the seeds of truth that we have within, that we might grow more and more to be just like Jesus. So we thank you for helping us to understand this important topic, this important virtue of our God. And thank you for enabling us to change. Be with all of those who are unable to attend, and please work in their lives this change as well. And thank you that the truth of your love, sacrifice, and soon return is spreading around the world, and many more precious souls are choosing you above the world. Thank you that Babylon is being emptied and your kingdom swelling with new souls. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And this is the Bible Spotlight series on forgiveness. And this is part 3. And those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/id37.htm. So lightministries.com/id37.htm. And our opening text, if you look at quote number 1, is found in Leviticus 11, verse 44. And it says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." And so because the Lord our God is holy, then all of his children are to sanctify themselves and become holy just like he is. And what is this holiness of the Lord our God like? We're told in Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty." So in seeking to discover how to become holy like our God in character, we've been focusing upon the divine attributes of forgiveness in this series. And we've learned that true forgiveness is composed of 5 different steps. Last time, we saw that the first step of forgiveness is that all bitterness, wrath, anger, evil thoughts, bad feelings, and all those connected with those type of things against those who have sinned against you are to be put away from your heart and mind. Then you are to receive them with kindness, tender-heartedness, compassion, affection, and respect, showing them mercy, doing good to them, forsaking them not, and be willing to forgive even those who have hurt you deeply, which includes your enemies. And if you receive those who come to you asking for forgiveness in this way, then your words to them will be seasoned with grace, so that you can lift them up and edify them and thus encourage them to fully repent, instead of your words being to them like arrows that pierce and hurt them and thus discouraging them from repenting fully. And unless you receive them in this gracious way, then you're in danger of grieving away the Holy Spirit from yourself. So we learned that last time. Now, we also learned last time that the second step of forgiveness is founded upon goodness, kindness, tenderness, long-suffering, mercy, and blessing towards those who have sinned against you, and that all these graces must first reside in your own heart before you could possibly forgive others in this way. So then we understood that all types of sins, no matter how bad or great the evil was against you, no matter how slanderous and hateful their words were against you, and no matter how many times they've sinned against you, are all to be freely forgiven. And your unlimited forgiveness must be full and complete, not partial or lacking. So when you forgive, it's to be complete forgiveness, not partial. And then we solemnly recognized last time that just as we treat those who sin against us, so God will treat us in the very same way when we sin against Him. So if you desire loving kindness, tender mercy, and free, full forgiveness from God, then you must do the same to all who come to you asking for your forgiveness. So that's the first two steps of the five steps of forgiveness. But what about the remaining three steps? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. And if you look at quote number two, the third step in forgiveness is that you are to cast, to lay aside, to omit, to remit, to forsake, to put and take away the debt they owe you because of their sin, no matter how large or small that debt might be. We're told in Matthew 18, verses 32 to 5. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now these verses reveal to us that just as that gigantic debt of sin was freely forgiven, so we need to do the same to those who owe us debts because of their sin. Another verse is from 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now this verse reveals to us that not only was their sin forgiven, but also their land was healed. So this shows us that not only are you to freely forgive those who sin against you, but you are also to freely heal or erase the debt they owe you because of their sin. Another verse is from Jeremiah 33, verse 8. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. Now this inspired passage shows us that not only was their sin forgiven, but they were also cleansed from these sins. So this again shows us that not only are you to freely forgive those who sin against you, but you are also to freely cleanse or erase the debt they owe you. So this is how God's word shows us that we're to deal with the debt that people owe us after we have forgiven them their sin. We're not just to forgive their sin and hold on to the debt. In other words, continue to rehash it in our mind over and over and over again. But we're to erase their debt as well. But how are we to treat them after we have freely forgiven them their sin and erased their debt? How are we to treat those who have really hurt us after we have forgiven them and erased their debt? This is step number four. Step number four of true forgiveness is that you are to lift, to raise, and hold them up so that you can send them forth relieved, happy, and free in the Lord. We're told in Genesis 50, verses 17 to 19 and verse 21. Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now their great sin against him was selling him as a slave, betraying him. And yet, Joseph freely forgave them and encouraged them, spake kindly unto them. So he just didn't forgive and relieve the debt. He also lifted them up. We're also told in Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. So both of these verses reveal that after you have freely forgiven the sin and debt of those who sinned against you, that you are then to affectionately nourish, comfort, and kindly treat them, letting them know that the warfare or the strife that was generated because of their sin is now ended and it's over. The warfare is accomplished. It's over. It's done. We're also told in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 8, Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was afflicted of many, so that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. Now these verses amazingly reveal to us that those who are guilty of causing great church problems, but who have repented, are to be freely forgiven by all church members and not just those that were directly affected. But in addition to forgiving them, each church member is also to comfort and confirm their love towards them, making sure that they know that we love them. Otherwise, any lack of brotherly or sisterly love just might drive them into discouragement and despair to the point that they just give up the warfare and go back into the world. We're also told in 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 to 11, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. These verses reveal to us that if someone has committed an open sin against you, and you have freely forgiven them and erased their debt, that no one else is to harbor any hard feelings against the wrongdoer for what they did to you. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, even though we were guilty of crucifying his dearly beloved Son. So if you have forgiven the offender, then others who know about this are to do the same for your sake. Otherwise, Satan is going to take advantage of this lack of consistency, and he will escalate it into a greater issue that causes additional strife and division, when no problems should exist because they've already been forgiven by you. So since Christ has forgiven us, then God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us as well. So if we forgive someone their open sin against us, then all the rest of the brethren are to do the same for our sake. So this is how God's word reveals that we're to treat those that we have forgiven them their sin and erased their debt. But what should we do with the memory of all the hurt feelings or the strong emotions that are associated with their sin against us? In step four, we've freely forgiven them, erased their debt, and everyone else has followed along with us in freely forgiving them and encouraging them and lifting them up. But what should we do with the memory of what they did unto us? You look at quote number four. The fifth step of true forgiveness is that whatever their sin and debt was, that you freely forgave and erased, that you are not to continue dwelling upon it or harboring it in your heart, but you are to let it go, to let it alone, to leave it and let its memory remain contained in the past. We're told in Psalms 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, the Hebrew word that's used for covered in this verse is kaka, and this word translates and means to cover for secrecy, to close, to conceal. And that's strong, exhaustive concordance, Hebrew word number 3680. So this verse plainly reveals to us that whatever the sin and debt was that you forgave and erased, it's to be covered. It's to be concealed and kept secret. It's not to be revealed to any other person. It's to be kept hidden. We're also told in Psalms 85, verses 2 to 3. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Now these verses show us that not only are you to conceal their sin from others, but you are also to take away any wrath or anger which you may have because of their sin against you. So any wrath or anger which you may have because of their sin, you're to let it go. You're not to harbor the emotions. You're also to let these go. And that may be very difficult to do, but all things are possible through Christ, which strengthens you. Here's another verse. This is Jeremiah 31, verse 34. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So this inspired passage reveals that the sin and the debt that you freely forgave and erase is to be remembered no more. Or in other words, the memory of their sin is not to be continually brought up and dwelt upon, but it's to be left contained in the past. So this means you're not only to forgive them from your mind, but you're to forgive them from your heart. Christ tells us in Matthew 18:35, ye from your hearts forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. So that's the fifth and the last step of true forgiveness. And in following all five of these steps and freely forgiving all types of sin, freely erasing all types of debt, and remembering all types of sin no more, does that also mean that any and all consequences of their sinful actions against us are also to be forgotten and removed? And the answer is no. If you look at quote number 5, from Numbers 4, verses 19 to 23. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now these verses reveal that there are some types of sin that are committed by certain individuals that are of so great a character that the consequences resulting from their sin continue on, even though their sin has been forgiven. In the above situation, the consequences involved a whole generation having to die before they reached the promised land, even though their great and many sins were freely forgiven. So in some situations, the consequences continue on, even though the sin has been forgiven. But the above situation with the children of Israel was not the only time in which consequences continued on, afflicting those whose great sin had already been forgiven. Some of these sins include adultery. In the case of adultery, the innocent spouse, let's say a wife, can decide to end the marriage of her unfaithful husband, and then she's free to remarry another in the Lord if she so chooses to do so, even though she has freely forgiven her unfaithful spouse. You can find this principle in Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19, verse 9. So even though the sin of adultery was forgiven, yet the consequences of an ended marriage between them continued on forever. Also, because of Reuben's knowing adultery against his father Jacob with Bilhah, Reuben lost the privileges of the firstborn, even though Reuben was forgiven his great sin. You can find this in Genesis 35, verse 22, and Genesis 49, verses 3 to 4. The privilege of the priesthood of the firstborn passed from Reuben to Levi. Deuteronomy 21, verse 5. The messianic privilege of the firstborn passed from Reuben to Judah, Genesis 49, verses 8 to 12. And the privilege of a double portion of the inheritance passed from Reuben to Joseph. That's Genesis 48, 2 to 6 and 49, 22 to 26. So even though Reuben was forgiven his great sin of adultery, he still lost the priesthood, the messianic privilege, and the double portion of inheritance. So that's for the sin of adultery. But there's more. For the sin of apostasy. The Bible reveals that because of the golden calf apostasy, 11 tribes of Israel lost the privilege of becoming priests or being directly connected with caring for the sanctuary, even though their knowing sin had been forgiven. All the priests, as well as all of those who would care for the sanctuary, were now only to be chosen from the one tribe that remained faithful, which was the tribe of Levi. You can find this in Deuteronomy 21, verse 5, Exodus 32 to 40, and Numbers chapters 3 to 4. And there's also another situation of apostasy, and that was that all the unfaithful priests could never again officiate in the priest's office before the Lord, even though their knowing sin of adultery had been forgiven. And you can find that in 2 Kings 23. Verses 8 to 9. So for the sin of apostasy, the priesthood was lost, even though the sin was forgiven. There's also another one. For the sin of openly fighting against Christ and his followers, the consequences continue on. The Bible reveals that Paul was temporarily blinded for 3 days on his way to Damascus in order to bring him to repentance and conversion to Jesus. He went there to bring to jail and even to kill followers of Christ. But on the way, God intervened. Paul was temporarily blinded, but brought to repentance and conversion. But even after he was converted, he still suffered from bad eyesight. The consequences continued on. You can find this recorded in Acts 9, verses 3 to 22, Galatians 6, verse 11, and 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 17. And part of the reason the consequences continue on is to bring back to the memory of the individual that was responsible for fighting against Christ and his followers, or was responsible for the sin of apostasy or the sin of adultery, to bring back to their remembrance what they did that brought the consequences, and thus help them never again to commit those same sins. So the consequences continuing on is a factor that keeps them humble and prevents them or encourages them not to continue on in those great sins. So this idea of consequences continuing on after a great sin and debt has been freely forgiven and even erased is not a bad thing. It's a good and necessary thing. It leads to humility. It leads to the person coming to Jesus day by day for grace and strength and divine power to overcome these weaknesses in their character. If you look at quote number 6 from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the strength of Christ is made perfect in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul suffered with bad eyesight, with this thorn in the flesh, with this infirmity, to keep him humble, to keep him looking to Christ for grace and strength to help. So we've clearly seen that all five of these steps of true forgiveness are backed up by God's unfailing word of truth, and is therefore necessary for each one of us to follow in being truly forgiving of someone their sins and erasing their debts against us. But the Bible also reveals that there are other aspects on this important subject of true forgiveness. And we'll discover what these other aspects are next time. So one of the great virtues of the character of God is being forgiving. And it should also become part of our virtue, our character. And of course, only possible through Christ, which strengthens us. So we'll find out more on this topic of true forgiveness next time. Our closing song is Help Us Forgive. Help us forgive, forgiving Lord, the wrong that others do. And when our hearts are pierced by pain, to bring the hurt to you. For on the cross you bore for us the curse, the scorn, the hate, and gave your life to lift from us sin's cruel and crushing weight. Let grace unlock each prisoned heart, uncoil each fisted hand, until from hate our hearts are freed, our hands in love extend. And then the broken circle closed, the broken friendships healed. Lord, hold us fast within the bonds by your forgiveness sealed. God will help each one of you to forgive as he is forgiving. Not just from the mind, but from your heart. God will help the pain to be removed, will help you to be set free. And thank you, Father, for giving us peace. Shall we pray? Father, help us forgive as you forgive. Help us to treat those who come to us asking for forgiveness the way you treat them. And help us to be set free from the pain and the hurt and the turmoil and all the memories that those who have sinned against us greatly have caused us. And when they repent, to freely forgive them, to erase their debt, to hold and lift them up and encourage them in the Lord, and to let the memory go. And Father, take away all the pain as well, that we will not harbor against them ill feelings, even though they've asked for forgiveness and we've forgiven them. But to truly treat them as you treat us. This is only possible through your grace and strength, because it's human nature to want to harbor revengeful feelings. So we look to thee for help. Please work upon the hearts of those who have sinned against us and are unrepentant. Awaken them. Send your spirit to them, and spirit, open their understanding that they may see what they have done, because that sin is registered against them in the record books of heaven. It will keep them out of the kingdom. Please open their eyes and understanding that they may see the seriousness of the situation, the shortness of time, and may repent. And please, Spirit, open our hearts to the sins we have registered against our names, that we might awaken, that we might recognize, and give us a repentant heart, that we might ask forgiveness. and have that debt erased from our books through the precious blood, merits, and righteousness of Christ. Thank you, Father, for being forgiving. Thank you, Savior, for making it possible. And thank you, Spirit, for revealing to us our sins that need to be forgiven. Help us to follow your example. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts or comments, any questions, insights, testimonies, songs, anything else that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
Rue and I will sing according to our lesson today. Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? In blazing light, your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. How trifling others' debts to us, how great our debt to you. Lord, cleanse the depths within our souls and bid resentment cease. Then by your mercy reconciled, our lives will spread your peace. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful duet, dear brother and sister. Are there any other songs, any other thoughts or insights, testimonies that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
The Lord God, merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, and abounding in goodness, abounding in goodness and truth. Keeping mercies 4,000, forgiving iniquity, iniquity, transgressions and sin. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, abounding in goodness, abounding in goodness and truth. Exodus 34, 6 and 7.
And you know, dear ones, we're not all in this alone. We're in this battle together. And when we see individuals struggling with letting things go that have been forgiven, or when we see them struggling with other issues, or perhaps not concerned with things they need to be concerned about, we're to pray one for another. And I need your prayers as well. I need the prayers of those I love while traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up and win some faith, that I may walk the narrow way by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
Now I like to sing an old hymn that I haven't sung for some time. It's among my favorites. It's Pardon, Peace, and Power. The three P's. Anyway. Will we be joyful in the Lord, then count the riches o'er, reveal to they within His word, and note the boundless store. There is pardon, peace, and power, and purity, and paradise. With all of these, in Christ for me, let joyful songs of praise to Him arise. For every sin by grace divine, a pardon free bestowed, and with the pardon peace is mine, the peace in Jesus' blood. There is pardon, peace, and power, and purity, and paradise. With all of these, in Christ for me, let joyful songs of praise to Him arise. Of grace to break the power of sin, He gives a full supply. The Holy Ghost, the heart within, from sin do purify. There is pardon, peace, and power, and purity, and paradise. With all of these, in Christ for me, let joyful songs of praise to Him arise. The power to win a soul to God, the Spirit to impart, and He, the gift of Christ our Lord, dwells now in all our hearts. There is pardon, peace, and power, and purity, and paradise. With all of these, in Christ for me. Let joyful songs of praise to him arise. These blessings we by faith receive, by simple childlike trust. In Christ is God's delight to give. He promised and he must. There is pardon, peace and power, and purity and paradise. With all of these, in Christ for me, let joyful songs of praise to him arise. Amen.
Amen. I like the three P's, brother. Pardon, peace, and power. Amen.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. A happy Sabbath for everyone. My father wants to give some words to you.
Queridos hermanos y hermanas,
dear brethren,
alabamos al Señor,
God be praised,
por concedernos el privilegio de participar en su obra,
for giving us the privilege of partaking in his work.
Creemos que miles de personas,
we believe that many people,
y muchas familias se han beneficiado,
and families have taken advantage,
de las enseñanzas de la palabra de Dios,
of the teachings of God's word,
que damos a través del programa de la televisión,
which are broadcast through the TV program,
durante este primer trimestre del año,
during the first half of the year.
En nuestro país,
in our country,
casi todas las actividades se detuvieron.
Almost all the activities were halted
desde el 20 de marzo.
Since March the 20th.
Cuando el gobierno nacional,
when our government,
decretó la cuarentena,
enacted the quarantine,
por causa de la pandemia,
on account of the pandemic.
Pero gracias al Dios Altísimo,
however, by the grace of our Almighty God,
y a la bondad de una familia,
and the kindness of a devoted Christian family,
que nos proveyó una cámara de video hace un buen tiempo,
that provided us a camcorder in previous years,
hemos podido hacer los programas desde casa.
We have been able of recording programs at home.
Y enviarlos al canal de la televisión,
and sending them to the channel,
por correo,
by mail,
para ser transmitidos oportunamente los sábados y los domingos,
to be broadcast in a timely manner all the Saturdays and Sundays.
Es importante resaltar,
it's important to highlight,
que durante estos tres meses,
during these three past months,
hemos enviado más de 160 libros de la gran controversia.
We have delivered 160 great controversies
a quienes los han solicitado,
to those who have requested them.
En épocas anteriores,
previously,
enviábamos aproximadamente 15 libros cada mes.
We sent approximately 15 books per month.
Así que damos gloria a Dios.
Therefore, we praise the Lord.
Porque Él se revela en la crisis.
For He reveals Himself in the middle of the crisis.
Y su Espíritu Santo está trabajando incansablemente.
And His Holy Spirit works tirelessly.
En favor de los que habrán de ser salvos.
In favor of those who will be saved.
Damos gracias, muchas gracias a cada uno de ustedes.
We thank every one of you.
por sus oraciones,
for your steady prayers,
por su apoyo constante,
support,
su bondad,
kindness,
y su cariño.
And love.
Praise the Lord, and may He use us for His glory. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's fantastic, dear brother. And our prayers go with each book and each material, each track that has reached precious souls there in Colombia and beyond. So may God indeed multiply your efforts that many more precious souls can be garnered out of Babylon to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, amen. Keep up the good work, dear brother. Our prayers go with you and our love. And our prayers and love go with your family as well, because without them, you wouldn't be able to get as much work done. So to them as well. Now here's a hymn that, is unfamiliar to some, but it's a very good hymn. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay, send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Let us pray that grace may embrace. Send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel, let it shine forevermore.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Amen. And each one of us who have accepted Christ are ordained by Him to be His messengers, to be His witnesses. So let the light shine, first to your family, then to your extended family, then to your friends, community. Let it shine. Dear ones, are there any other songs, any other thoughts, comments, questions that you have before we close today's service? Please feel free to do so.
Made me think of that song, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Take the next verse.
"Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine all the time." Sister Christina taught me that one.
"All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine.
Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Even after Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine."
"Hide it under a bush. Oh no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bush. Oh no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine all the time."
"All around Columbia, I'm gonna let it shine. All around Columbia, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine all the time."
Well, dear ones, may God bless. May you continue letting your light shine. Continue looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who will give you the grace and the strength to keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.
Brother Garay, did you have something you want to share, dear brother?
Yes, we had him for sharing.
Omnisapiente Dios, Rey que ordenas el universo por su potestad, muestra tu amor desde el cielo donde reinas. Danos tu paz, Dios de eterna bondad. Piadoso eres tú, y aunque este mundo te ha rechazado y desprecia tu rey, tienes paciencia con el errabundo, haz que también obedezca tu ley. perdón pediste por los que daban de muerte muy cruel. Hoy te rogamos por los que redimiste, oigante y lleguen al santo vejez. Te agradecemos hoy, te alabamos, pues nos libraste de la maldición. Por todo el mundo tus glorias cantamos, tuyo el poder, Rey de la creación.